Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King, and we are joined here today live by Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, to take your financial questions. 715-845-2155, the number to call. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning on this beautiful July the 12th, 2014. Yes, we are live.
Yes,
we are here.
Yes, we are.
And not stuck in traffic.
That doesn't happen a lot during the summer. But
well, it seems crazy, but hopefully you'll see us a little more alive than we expected. We had a number of trips and things coming up that were, you know, of course, get rescheduled and replanned and all this kind of stuff moving around. And here we are alive rather than from the throes of northern Michigan on Lake Superior.
So do we have anything interesting to talk about? Because we always often hear about the summer doldrums when it comes to the market, or put stuff away and come back on Labor Day or whatever it is. Is that still going on? Is that what happens?
No, it's all really boring. So go ahead and hit a rebroadcast. Let's go over to Culver's. You know, things tend to get somewhat boring in the summertime because it tends to, for lack of a better term, be a staging for the rest of the year. And the rest of the year looks to be pretty good, in my opinion. I was just watching a regular email that I get every morning, once a week, from a gentleman by the name of Brian Westbury, who is the chief economist for First Trust down in Chicago. And I just love him as an economist because he tends to be spot on. And one of the biggest things that's happening right now, and of course making all this stuff pop up in the news, and if you're reading any of the financial news, we're either going to have a bubble and the whole world's going to fall apart in a matter of days, or the economy's going to be fantastic, which, well, is pretty much like every other week too. But the biggest thing that's coming up in here is the stopping or the halting of what's called the QE3 or quantitative easing. And if you didn't know this, folks, you need to listen to the program more. This is where the Federal Reserve System has been buying mortgages and thereby putting more liquidity into the marketplace. And in there, that's the big news, because in October, the Federal Reserve is going to stop putting this extra money inside of the system. And as a result thereof, people are saying, well, geez, the bond marketplace is going to be terrible and the stock marketplace is going to be awful. Well, guess what? We've been easing and cutting that back down here for the last number of months, several months, in fact. And so it really seems to be not having much of an effect, which is a conversation that I've had and we've heard other people say, and economists who are better guessers than me simply have said how much effect did the quantitative easing or QE3 really have in the marketplace. Is that the Federal Reserve isn't buying up the mortgage bonds, somebody is, and it's usually another bank or other banks within the Federal Reserve System, but it may affect interest rates a little bit. And we are starting to see some of that, much to the chagrin of many of my folks that we build bond portfolios for. We haven't seen anything in prices. Prices of bonds have been too high, and now we're actually starting to see some of the bonds change a little because the yields or interest rates are going up. And by the way, folks, when interest rates go, the value of bonds come down. So we're starting to see some bonds that we might actually be able to buy bonds for the first time in 6 months. And I don't think I've bought a bond for a client in 6 months, at least in my opinion, that's been worthy of price for the yield that you're getting. So we're starting to see some things changing and poising for the latter half of the year here.
Well, when you talk about the economic indicators, I mean, everything is looking pretty good when you talk about consumer confidence, when you talk about home prices, when you talk about gross domestic products. All of these indicators are on an upward swing, and you won't hear that from some quarters, of course, for political reasons, but I think a lot of people are feeling pretty good about the economy at this point long cold winter.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, if you're going to look at the stock market, what happens inside of the economy, folks, and I find it difficult, as well as you probably do, too. You got to step out of the politics. You have to look at what are the numbers doing, because the politics are always going to swing things one way or another in their direction. You know, we saw President Obama come up and say, by every measure, people are better off. Well, that may or may not be true, but how did it get there becomes the question, and that's where you have to step out of the politics. But when you look at the economy, you're right on this, Tom. The economy tends to be doing pretty well. It's doing okay. I can't say quite good yet, but it's doing okay. So even from Brian Westbury this morning, when listening to his emailed article, it appears as though that the next 12 to 24 months are going to be pretty good. So the question we're starting to look at in our industry is, okay, what happens beyond that now? So what happens with interest rates? And we still have all this cash. The Federal Reserve has their balance sheet swelled up quite a bit, not only with the bonds they purchased, but in additional reserves. And all that money has to get put back into the system again at some particular point in time. Done too quick, it creates some inflationary pressures, nowhere immediate, but at some point in time coming up in the future. So those are the things we're starting to take a look at right now. How will that affect things coming up into the next 36, 48, 60 months going out? And so that's some of the things we're starting to look at. So for this year, things are poised to be a pretty good half of the year. Now, if anybody has expectations that this year is going to look like the last two of, say, 20%, boy, I don't think so. I don't think there's a lot of people who would think that it is. But, you know, I think if we take a look at a year on an overall bottom-line portfolio, boy, if things continued on at the pace they are, I don't think seeing 8% or 10% is going to be all that far off. If we take a look at many diversified portfolios that we have with our clients right now, and I'm not boasting a rate of return, folks. I'm not suggesting you do anything differently or do anything else. I'm trying to give this to you as a measuring stick. You know, if you have all of your money only sitting inside the U.S. stock market, primarily, say, the Dow, the big large cap stuff, you might be up a percent and a half, you know, to 2% this year. If you're in a portfolio that's diversified and spread around, as we recommend on this program, and to make sure your portfolio is truly diversified, you're probably looking at anywhere between 4 to 6% rate of return this year. And so you kind of, you know, take, we're about halfway through the year, you double that. So looking at the 8 or 10% rate of return doesn't seem to be all that far off. Now, in that, the 20% stuff, we're not seeing it almost anywhere unless you have some of the WPS or Integra stock with part of their bio. That seems to be jumping up pretty good, but that's a whole other part of that world.
You know, obviously not all sectors of the stock market do well at the same time.
Correct.
But with this roaring stock market that we have at this point in time, what are the sectors, in your opinion, that are doing better where folks should be looking? And I guess more importantly, you get your crystal ball out, and the sectors that are going to be doing better here down the line in the near future, where, because obviously you'd like to jump in now before those sectors start really, really going. Yeah.
You know, my crystal ball says the market's going to fluctuate.
Well, gee, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I could get that from somebody walking out on the street right now. Yeah, you know, drawing a chalk picture down.
Well, that's why we're on this program, yeah, Tom, yeah. And many others are not. You know, if we take a look at the stock market's always it's always a waltz, and we say it so many times in this program: two steps forward, one step back. Will we go down? In the next couple of months? Yeah, probably. And the only reason I'm saying is that, not because I see any huge flaw inside of the economy or the marketplace is going to make it do that. It's just that that tends to what happens in the summer. We see the marketplace go down. A lack of excitement inside of the marketplace tends to make it drift off and drop down a bit, and we're seeing it happen over the course of the last couple of weeks. There's not one thing that's saying, well, the stock market needs to go down because this is happening. And, you know, we look at this, and you made the statement in here, Tom, and I want people to realize what's going on here. If we take a look at what's happening with the Dow this year, people say the stock market is too high. It just keeps hitting all these new highs. But if we look at it, folks, the Dow has really done nothing this year. Are we hitting highs? Absolutely, we're hitting highs. But we started the beginning of this year with the Dow at some, I can't even see the real number what it is, but it appears to be somewhere around 16.8 is where we started on January 1st with the Dow this year. And now we're sitting at 16.943. Are we up? Yes, but really by about a percentage and a half, maybe 2% at most. And what happens is we keep bouncing within that real narrow range as the course of the year goes along. So some of the big conversations that are out, in fact, some of the articles that we're here, I'm sure we'll get to, you know, talks about the stock market is too high, the levels are too high, it's terrible. The stock market needs to correct, but what's happening with the stock market not going up? The economy is growing behind it. And I think the profitability is still continuing to keep coming up and growing, making it look like the economy has done nothing, thereby the same as self-correcting and going down to catch up with the marketplace is. You know, when you take a look at the market of the number of the Dow, so let's say the Dow closed on Friday. Matter of fact, it did close at 16,943. If we take a look at that number, what supports that number is the profitability of the companies behind it to make sure that the stock prices are upholding where the 16,943 is. Influenced then by what's happening with the underlying economy, inflation, and interest rates. And if we take a look at all those things, what's the economy doing? The economy's okay. What's happening to inflation? None. What's happening with interest rates? Still very stimulative, with essentially at zero. So with that, then, where does the stock market go from there? Well, assuming that the companies are still going to continue to make money, which they are, we should continue to see some expansion in not only the economy, but see that stock market price continue to float forward. So it either has to come down to correct where the numbers are, or the numbers have to come up to support where the stock price is. And there's many economists and people that are out there that believe that what's happened through the first half of this year is that the economy has come back to support where the stock market is. Thereby, we should see some growth as the year goes on.
715-845-2155. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle Kelch, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
I'm in Yosemite National Park to talk Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream with the Miller family. So how many itchy bug bites and rashes do you have?
33 bites.
34.
And a case of poison ivy.
It itches.
Do not scratch.
Miller family, relief starts now. Gold Bond has twice the itch-fighting medicine of hydrocortisone cream.
Ooh.
Plus aloe and vitamin E. It's fast relief on contact.
Feels better already. Who's up for a hike?
Look at the big kitty.
I'm out. Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream. Relief starts now.
For those with mental or substance use disorders, what does recovery look like? It's a transformation. It's a supporting hand. It's new beginnings. When does recovery start? It starts when you ask for help and support. Join the Voices for Recovery. Speak up. Reach out.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
From the border to the capital.
I just wanted to talk about immigration. It just seems like the Californication of America.
Main Street to Wall Street.
You know, here's just another example of a lie.
With that much real estate to cover, you need two voices.
Fascinating what we find is important.
Join the conversation.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
That means a lot as someone who enjoys radio and really enjoys your program.
Yeah, I could put it away if I had.
Tom King, the Wisconsin Morning News on WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. I see the phone is lighting up, so let's check it out. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. This is Russ.
Hey, Russ, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Russ.
Good morning. So I've got a 401 plan through work, and it's run by John Hancock. And
okay.
Basically, they're running everything. I'm on the gross of mode on that. Is that diversified enough?
In the growth
mode?
Should
I be looking at? Yeah.
Okay, you're in a growth mode? Okay. You know, with this, I got to tell you, Russ, I'm exceptionally familiar with the program that you're in. There's actually a number of companies that our firm actually sponsors in town that uses that same program. And I happen to think that that program that you're in is one of the finest programs that are out there, and you're very diversified on the inside of it. I don't think you have any issues with that, and you've probably seen some fantastic gains over the course of the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And yep. You got a smile on your face, don't you, Russ?
Yeah.
You know, the thing that they do is inside of those portfolios, they're called the lifestyle portfolios that they have inside of those. They do an exceptional job. They, being the John Hancock managers, do an exceptional job adhering to not only discipline but to modern portfolio theory. So even though you see one tag and one name on there saying growth, inside of there, you're probably about 10 or 15% cash. Bonds, having some of that, a little bit of cash. But you have your small, your medium, large, your companies. You have growth value. You have international, which is just paramount right now.
Right, kind of looking at that.
Yeah. You got
is
that
there
stuff
another level I could go at above growth? Like, is there an aggressive one?
Well, you know what? I would, quite honestly, let me just be direct on that. They do have a more of an aggressive model versus the growth, but I think you're good right where you are. The aggressive model is pretty good, but from a risk to reward standpoint, I prefer the growth model, and that's one I've recommended many times. The aggressive model does a pretty good job, but it seems to be able, you're adding more risk, but not necessarily for a better long-term rate of return with that with those funds. I'm just familiar with them, but I would suggest in more instances than not that you'd stay inside of the growth portfolio.
What would be the advantage of buying gold and silver or something like that? You always hear that on the radio that now's the time to buy it.
It's always the time to buy it. Yeah, Merle has definite opinions about gold and silver.
Yeah, gold and silver has its place, and I think you can make a lot of money with gold or silver. And I think the time to make money with gold and silver now is better than it was 2 years ago. What's interesting is in the financial industry, in gold and silver and coins seem to be the worst at this. They always tell you how great they were. Key term here, were. They're not telling you that they've been plummeting all year. They're not telling you that part, but they always say how great they were. Now, if we take a look historically, gold, silver, metals, platinum, and so forth, always tends to be the flight to safety for an economy that's going crazy. Okay, so when you're having high inflationary pressures and these types of things and uncertainty, gold and silver are the places to go to. So if we take a look back in history here from 2007, going up really into 2012, we saw gold and silver just going up like a rocket. Why? Because we had all kinds of economic uncertainty, not only in the U.S. but abroad. And so with that, coupled with the expansion use in gold, especially inside of the technology world, China buying up a ton of gold for those reasons, we looked at it, we saw the gold prices go up this year, all of a sudden they settled down because a lot of the purchasing, because of economic reasons and uncertainty, those things tend to fall off. And so we saw gold prices just take a major retrenchment coming back. Now, that being said, will gold go up in 5 years or 10 years? Yeah, probably. More than likely so. Why? Well, we're going to use more. Mines are going to fall off mining it because are going to bring up new stuff in because there's not any economy of scale when the price is where it is. Many places just stop producing gold at the moment because there's no reason to put any more out there. So just because of those things, we should see an increase in the price of gold. Now, the difficulty with gold, and we've said it in this program so many times, Russ, is that if you're going to go out and you're going to buy the actual bullion, fantastic. Buy it, throw it in your drawer, let it there, let it stay there for 10 years. If you're going to look at that, go ahead and buy the physical gold. If you're going to buy it because you want to try to make some money for 6 months or a year, you got to buy what's called an ETF. For gold or something of this nature, because the premiums and the discounts for buying and selling gold are so high. If you're going to go buy an ounce of gold, for example, and you're going to plop down your $1,300 or $1,400, you're going to probably have to pay a 15 or 20% premium on top of that, which is the spread to the dealer that you're buying it from. Well, if you go to sell it to them, and the price of gold is $1,300, they're also going to discount it another 10 or 15%.
This just kills me every time we talk about this, that they can get it on both ends. I mean, it's like a bookie collecting a vigorish from both sides. I mean,
Tom, you know what a vigor is. It's just, vigorous is kind of means that you might have been to a bookie once or twice.
Well, but come on, I mean, just this idea that you got to pay on both ends of the deal, it seems to me that you would be very hard pressed to make any money short term in this situation.
Hence my reason of saying use an ETF.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with bullion. I mean, heck, I remember when I was in college, Russ, we would go out and we'd buy a whole bunch of silver. But the beautiful part about it was my roommate at the time, his father had a number of jewelry and coin stores, so we got to buy it at cost. So there'd be nothing that we would, pull our money together. We'd buy 100 ounces of silver and have a couple of bars sitting inside of our dorm room. Well, then the price would go up. We'd sell it for beer money. It was great, but we didn't have any costs. We didn't have any spreads to it, so it was really nice.
It's like the old West where you just laid it on the bar and said, we're going to drink until this is gone. Is that what? Thanks for the call, Russ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks a lot for your information.
715-845-2155 is the number to call. I can just see you going into some, bar on
We just took a pocket knife out, took a sliver out for a drink, It was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. 715-845-2155 is the number to call. What about other commodities? We talk gold and silver. Are there any other commodities out there at this point in time that you think are are hot or are going to be hot that folks need to look at making part of a portfolio?
Some of them that I'm looking at, and we're starting to see some mining. In fact, I just had this conversation with a gentleman in the UP here just recently. The rare earths are really popping up again to the point now where they're starting to mine the rare earths purposely in the UP.
Those are those minerals that are found in various places like Africa and South America and Asia that are used for making electronic devices.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a bunch of the stuff up in the UP. It's just that the percentage is so low that it didn't make sense profitably to pull it out. But they're pulling out some of the other things up there, and the rare earths are coming out. And so now they're trying to say, well, let's get more rare earths, and they're doing more stuff at this. I have to say, you know, this is kind of fun. And the gentleman's name is Alan. His name is Al, young man, probably late 20s, early 30s. And usually if we're inside of a place for eating and maybe a libation or several, I'm usually one of the bigger guys in there. Now, some younger guys might have me in height, but I certainly got them in girth, and that's from years of proper eating. And this gentleman walks in a bar, and I just giggled. And we actually have pictures of me with his armpit over my shoulder. And, of course, he was 6'11".
Ooh.
Oh, big kid. And so what he does for a living is he punches holes and blows stuff up in mines. So he actually does the mining and stuff on the inside. I said, don't you bump your head? He said, no, we make the caverns 18 feet by 18 feet now. He said, so it's not a problem.
Got to have the nickname of Big Al, right?
Well, I think they just call him Sir.
Or Tiny.
He wore a size 20 shoe. That in itself was just impressive. But the big thing is in the UP, they're pulling the rare earth metals out, and those prices are going up because we need them more and more in electronics and in new things that we're doing. And I can't even pronounce half of the rare earths. I know that a lot of them, palladium and this kind of stuff, were part of that. And I think that in metals, in my opinion, is an investment and not a wave, as we might see with gold or silver, in my opinion.
All right. 715-845-2155. We're going to take a break for some news. We'll come back with more. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Owning your own business is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do, but it certainly isn't easy. For nearly 50 years, business owners have been getting the help they need from SCORE, all for free.
My SCORE mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
SCORE mentors are passionate about sharing their expertise to help small businesses achieve success.
I could not have done it alone.
Whether you're a startup or an existing business, SCORE mentors can help you achieve your goals and help your business grow. With more than 12,000 volunteers with real-world business experience, SCORE is ready and willing to help make your dreams come true.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible, all for free.
Visit SCORE.org to get started today. SCORE, for the life of your business.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. The violence in Gaza shows no signs of letting up. Palestinian officials said earlier today that Israeli airstrikes in the region have now killed at least 120 Palestinians in the past few days. Israel and Hamas have been trading rocket and artillery fire all week, sparked by the kidnapping and murder of three Israeli teens and the killing of a Palestinian teenager. More than two dozen people are recovering from an unexpected release of chlorine gas at a Michigan pool. A hazmat official says 27 people had to be hospitalized yesterday after two pool chemicals were accidentally mixed. It happened at the Michigan Adventure Water and Amusement Park near Muskegon. Music fans around the world are remembering Tommy Ramone. Ramone died on Friday of cancer at the age of 62. He was the founding drummer and last surviving member of the 70s band known as the Ramones. A coal train that was headed to Superior is derailed in Montana, where a cleanup continues. 13 cars of a Burlington Northern Santa Fe train jumped the tracks around 7:45 last night. The train originally took off from a coal mine in Bighorn County, Montana. Nobody was hurt in that derailment. The Brewers lost again. The Cardinals rallied from 6 down to win 7-6. Matt Holliday hit a solo homer in the ninth off Francisco Rodriguez to key the win. The two teams play again this afternoon. The Brewers have lost six straight. You can hear today's game right here, pregame show at 2:35. Also, the Woodchucks lost to Kenosha last night. They hit the road now and will play in Battle Creek, Michigan tonight. Wisconsin Rapids got a win over Madison in Northwoods League play. The weather today, warm and quite muggy with a chance of storms. The heaviest will be south of Marathon County, high going up to 81. An overnight low of 63, and then tomorrow partly sunny, a chance of showers or storms with a high of 78. Monday, mostly cloudy and cooler. Some scattered rain possible. High 65. Tuesday, cool. Spotty showers in the afternoon. High 68. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News station, WSAU.
Have you heard the buzz about West Nile virus? Protect yourself and your family from the mosquito bites that spread the virus. When you go outside, use mosquito repellent containing DEET. When possible, wear long sleeve shirts and pants. And remove standing water around your home where mosquitoes breed. Anyone can become infected, but if you're over 50, you're at higher risk for severe disease or even death from West Nile virus. Remember, the best defense comes from things you can do yourself. Fight the bite. Tell mosquitoes to buzz off.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. We are here most Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 to take your financial questions, 715-845-2155. And many times we use a website called MarketWatch to get information to talk about here on the show. And like any other website or news source these days, sometimes you have to look past the headline and get into the meat of the story.
Absolutely.
Normally, when journalism is done, the reporter writes the story and somebody else writes the headline. And sometimes the headline can be a bit misleading. And you've got a story like that from MarketWatch
today. There
is one
that's out there. And I think this is an article that's fantastic to read. So if you're out there as a novice investor, you're trying to wonder what's going on with the stock market, or if you're a financial advisor listening to the program. Sorry, that was a touch of joke. Anyway, in here, there's an article out there by the name of a columnist that we watch and read quite a bit and comment on this program with. Mark Hulbert, he has one that's out there. It says U.S. stocks will be very disappointing for the next 10 years. Inside of here, the opening line is very disappointing to what the article is. When I see stuff like this, I always want to see what they're reading about and they're talking and so forth. Well, the beginning part of the article talks about how if you take a lot of what's called ratios, and ratios are nothing more than a measure of either profitability or measure of profit to the stock price or some sort of a measure of that nature. Where the profit is based upon past profits during different periods of time. It looks like that where we are right now with the stock market is probably about 80% done for its growth for the overall high, of course, barring that the economy expands, which I think we're going to have economic expansion. But with that, then, inside of the article, they do a really nice job of telling us how we protect our portfolio again, if the stock U.S. stock market doesn't do anything. And inside of the article, they say very specifically that they don't believe this U.S. stock market is going to go trailing off, just not making much. So with that, we have a couple lessons to learn here. You know, if we go back into the 40s and 50s, Tom, you know, our parents, for example, weren't buying stocks in the 40s and 50s. Well, they were kids. Our grandparents, let's do it that way. Our grandparents weren't buying stocks in the 40s and 50s. They weren't buying stocks at that point in time because they thought the stock price was going to go from $10 a share to $20, which is what we all hope today. They were buying it for a different reason at that point in time. Interest rates at the bank were very low, and you bought good quality stocks because they paid a high dividend. You know, they paid that 3.5% or 4% or 4% dividend. Same thing we saw happen over the course of about 3 or 4 years ago again is that phase or that turning back towards buying high-paying dividends or high dividend-paying stocks. And so we look at some of those things, and so they chat about that inside of the article. A couple things they also talk about more, which I think makes a lot of sense, is for us to look around the world. And we have to do it. We've said it so many times here as well as everywhere else. Is that, you know, we have to look around the world when we invest. The U.S. is a large, mature stock market. And inside of the large, mature stock market, they don't grow very fast. They don't grow very quick. And we're not going to get our best rates of returns out of the U.S. economy. Now, I love the U.S. and I'll buy the U.S. as well. But when it comes from an investment standpoint, I have to look at where the goods and services are being produced around the world. And 30 years ago, two-thirds were inside the United States. Today, two-thirds are outside the United States. So if we're going to look at those growing economies where we have the best ability to have a rate of return, we have to look at some of those for part of our portfolio. And so they talk about that inside of this article. So fantastic little article. Then finally, the last thing, which is something people have been doing inside of portfolios and is as old as the hills, is becoming defensive. And that doesn't mean you're buying some sort of a defense stock, but you're buying those old large companies that produce those goods and services that we use on a daily basis and at the same time are giving us a good dividend. So the name of the stocks they're talking about, of course, in here are going to be the stocks you're familiar with and you're familiar with the name. You know, Comcast and Disney and McDonald's and PepsiCo and Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble are all the names of the companies that they talk about inside of this article. I'm not recommending you jump out and buy them. But the article is a nice little article, terrible headline in my opinion, but it's a nice little article telling us what to do if the economy's not growing a ton, what we should do from a portfolio. We look around at all the normal stuff, diversification around the world, making sure we don't have all of our money sitting inside of the Dow. We have it diversified between small, medium, large. It's looking at and saying if we have individual stocks and things start slowing down, we look to the big names that are paying high dividends. But it's a nice little article, nice little thing to make sure that we're not panicking, thinking the whole world's going to fall apart. The world might fall apart, I'm not really sure, but today it's not, and so we have to make sure we're planning ahead in case it does not.
All right, there was a story earlier this week, a couple days ago, I think, and I don't have it in front of me here, so I don't have the name of the stock or the name of the company, but there was this mystery stock, I don't know if you read or heard about this, that came out of nowhere and is making just a huge amount of money, a huge, huge return.
Yeah, the SEC has halted the trading of it. I remember reading that article about it.
When you see something like that happen, a company that nobody's ever heard of all of a sudden going crazy, that's got to send up some red flags, doesn't it?
Well, this this actually goes to a story. Let me make sure I read this first because it seems to be fitting.
Okay.
Folks, the opinions voiced on the show are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate, you consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements that may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies, and this program is for intended for Wisconsin residents only. And this is a true story and actually happened to me.
Okay.
A friend of mine, Merle, you got to look at this stock. You know, I'm young and naive in this business. And oh, this stock, look how it just keeps going up. I'm like, oh, maybe that's pretty good. So I think I bought like at the time like $2,500, which is all the money in the world to me at that point in time.
Yeah.
And my wife at the time says, are you sure? And I'm like, oh, it's a great stock. Look how long it's been going up. It's been fantastic. So I put the money in probably about 10 to 3 in the afternoon. And the stock market closes at 3 here in Wisconsin. So I put my $2,500 in. I bought about 10 to 3, and by 3 o'clock it was worth 22. Next morning, the market opens up. It's worth about $1,800. By the midday, it's worth about $800 or $900, and I sell it, and at least recapture that. Kept going down. And it turns out, I don't know if you could possibly believe this, but the mob was manipulating the price of the stock.
Ah.
Huh. Who'd have thunk it? So when you see the Securities and Exchange Commission halting trading of a stock, there's something not right in there. And I did not catch what the company does, what's underneath it. I don't have any more information other than that.
All right, if someone is going to be searching for a place to put some money, like you say, they have $2,500 sitting there, and they're looking through the numbers and see a stock that they may not be familiar with doing well. What are the things they need to look for before they jump off the dock and put their money into that company?
The biggest thing out there, and this goes back to Peter Lynch's work, you know, Peter Lynch from Fidelity Funds, Magellan Funds, Notoriety. You have to know what the stock does. If you don't understand the technology, you shouldn't be in there buying it. Another thing Warren Buffett says, he said, I won't buy a stock if I don't understand what they do. You have to understand what the stock does. You can't just go through and say, wow, look, this one up 10%. Let's buy it. Well, I have no idea.
You're going to miss opportunities doing it that way, right? I mean, obviously, a lot of people don't understand what some of these computer companies do, and yet
it just stops the back. You just have to stop and say, let's do some reading and research and understand what they do. You know, you can't just simply say, I'm going to buy the stock because it has a cool name. You know, I've seen some people do that with dogs and say, well, that's a cool name. Let's buy the dog and win a few bucks. But you can't do that with individual stocks. You have to look at it and say, do I understand what they do? You know, do I know what this company does? Okay, so they went up 10%. How long does it take if you take an hour or 2 hours just to do as much quick reading and research as you can to understand what that individual stock does? You know, we look at the name and say, well, geez, they're going up. But know what they do. And if you can't understand what they do, somebody else may not understand what they do. Don't get involved in it because you're never going to be able to follow up with the reading and the research and to follow on that stock whether or not it's a good time to sell or to buy more of that nature if you don't understand what they do. And that's where people get themselves in trouble. You know, hey, Merle, I heard about this stock the other day from my bus driver buddy, and he says that, you know, this stock's going to be a beauty. What do you think? I bought $10,000 worth. What does he do for a living? He drives the bus. All that makes perfectly good sense then. And no offense against people who drive the bus, but, yeah, I mean, what he probably doesn't have time throughout the day to research and read stocks and so forth. Now, if it was a police officer, no, just teasing. I have a
Sorry.
Sorry, Jim.
715-845-2155. That number to call if you have a question for Merle. Give us a call here this morning. Obviously, the big story that is coming to a head here and might be reaching critical mass is the situation at the southern border of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it may, as I said, be reaching a tipping point because even both political parties, who basically at this point in time and this point in history can't agree on what to have for lunch, seem to think that there has to be a decision made to spend the money to stem the flow of illegal immigrants coming in from these countries. What is that going to mean? Because we've already heard some major industries in this country complaining that if you close the spigot completely, that they are going to take a big hit with this lack of manpower that they're going to be facing, whether it be the dairy industry, the meatpacking industry, some of the other industries that employ these people. Mm-hmm. If we do, in fact, take the step to close the border, and I use the term close with quotation marks, what is that going to mean to companies that, you know, have already said, look, it's going to hurt us if we do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I was having some conversations with this on Friday night, actually, on Thursday night. I'm having some conversations with people about this very thing. And though I'm pretty staunch in saying I want to know who's coming across the border, but I think we need those people here. And the reason is, Tom, is as you know, when your kids were teenagers, they didn't want to go work for $8 an hour. I mean, the mentality of that age group, and it was probably our mentality when we were that age, too, you know, 10 years ago, 18.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to work for minimum wage. We want to earn something more. And for one reason or another, it just seems to me, and I'm sure every generation of people our age were saying this before, and grandfathers and so forth are saying the same thing. The young kids don't seem to want to work like this. Well, that's because they're young kids. It's taken me this long to figure that part out. But we need to have those folks here working. We need those bodies because we're not bringing enough people into those manual types of manual work and those types of manual jobs. And so that influx of those people coming in do that part or function inside of our economy. And I'm not saying that our kids do or do not want to do it because I'm sure some do, but there's not enough.
Is this a time in history to stay away from those sectors of the marketplace?
No, because we have to eat. I mean, we have to have, you know, crops done. We have to have dairy done. But it is the manual, daily manual labor types of jobs, typically agricultural. So we have to have those jobs. We just want to know who they are. I mean, who's here? I think that there has to be some sort of a measure that simply says, okay, if you're illegal, step in. You're still going to be illegal, but we want to know who you are. Let's make sure you have an ID. You get to stay here. You have this amount of time to become a legal status. And I'm not touting that I know the right answer, but I want to know who's here as far as a government goes. And if you're not here, then you're not going to get any sort of a benefit, nothing. You're not going to get any health care. You either pay for it or you have to go back home, and you're not getting a driver's license and that whole bit. We want to know who you are. But it's got to start someplace. We're obviously not going to ship all the illegal aliens that are here. We're not going to ship them home. There's too many. We're not going to do it. It's not a functional thing. But we need to know who's here. But, God, we got to get the border shored up. You know, there's no reason why the industrial ability that we have in this country, we can't put up a 30-yard or a 30-foot electrical fence that goes the whole southern border of the United States. Whether we like that or not, it forces them to come into points where we know who they are rather than just crossing in the middle of the night. Right or wrong, we have to have the ability to close it up and control who's coming in.
715-845-2155 is the number to call. Sounds like we need Snake Plissken then and the Escape from New York scenario. All right.
Well, we don't need it quite that bad.
All right. Not yet, anyway.
We're
going to take a break here. We'll come back with more. If you have a phone question for Merle, give us a call here. We'll be back after this on WSAU.
Summer is here, and nothing looks better than tan skin and white teeth. And if you want to have whiter teeth in 5 minutes, then try clinically proven Power Swabs. Power Swabs whitens teeth on average 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. Call to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes, risk-free. 1-800-663-1502. That's 1-800-663-1502. 1-800-663-1502.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We're here today to ask people about marriage.
For starters, what's the best thing about being married?
Who I get to stay married to.
Togetherness.
To me, is having a companion.
My favorite thing about being married is that I have a partner.
Do you think your marriage is good for more than just the two of you?
Does it influence those around us?
Yeah, I think.
In a positive way?
I think so.
I would hope that people would see that when we're together that we really have a very true affection for each other.
What everybody wants, and we know we're lucky to have it.
The energy we give out in our home, I think, spreads out to other people.
Your marriage just continues to go on and on and on.
Oh, sure, and it affects generations after us.
I think it really sort of stabilizes your whole community. It's the cornerstone of a society, right?
Sounds like a good marriage goes a long way.
It touches a lot of people.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
The sounds of baseball.
Play ball!
It isn't summer without them. The Brewers, this afternoon on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Afternoon baseball today for the Brewers and Cardinals. Game coverage at 2:35 from Miller Park. Here on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. Let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Steve.
Steve, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just something I've been noticing over the last 6 months or a year. These bank cards send you things about cash advances or transfers of balance transfers, and it used to be 0% for 12 or 15 months with a 1 or 2% transaction fee. Now they've moved to 21 months and 4 or 5% transaction fees. Does that mean that our credit union accounts are going to start seeing a little more upside as far as the amount of money we'll receive in our savings accounts if they're making 4 and 5% on the fee rather than 1 or 2%?
Steve, sadly, no. You know, we're not going to see interest rates go up on it's called M1 money, but you know, checking, savings, CDs. We're not going to see any interest rates go up on that until we start seeing the Federal Reserve rate increasing interest rates. And if the Federal Reserve increases interest rates a 0.25% or 0.5%, guess how much is going to be reflected to your savings account or checking account? Well, that's still nothing. You know, we're not going to see that happen for a long time before we have any sort of meaningful rise in interest rates at the bank. But what's happening, and the reason you're seeing those fees go up, is because people aren't borrowing the way they used to. And banks, of course, and especially inside of the credit card companies, they need to raise some capital someplace. And so 0% money, guess how much a company makes at that? Well, nothing. And so they have to increase some fees or find some fees somewhere. Part of the Glass-Steagall Act, now called the Dodd-Frank Act, is that, you know, banks have to separate themselves, and whether they're a commercial bank or whether they're an investment bank or insurance company, mutual funds, they have to separate that stuff again. And so a lot of times you can't have a bank double-dipping and getting money from the credit card side or from the investment world. And so banks now have to get their fees the old-fashioned way, which is by raising the fees and actually showing us. And so that's what you're seeing on that front from that credit card. So interest rates going up? Nope. Bank making a little more cash? Yes. Guess what, Steve? You still have to watch all your P's and Q's.
Thanks for the good answer.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. So really, when something's advertised as 0% interest for 21 months, I mean, it's not. You're still there's no such thing as a free lunch anywhere.
No, it might be 0% interest, but if you're paying 4 or 5% processing fee,
you would think that
the profit that's built in for the short term.
You would think in the old days they would suggest that, yeah, we'll give you 0% for 12 months, thinking that you're going to carry that balance for longer than 12 months, and they'll make their money back on the back end of it. Now they want their money up front, so they're charging the transaction fee.
Well, it's the same thing that happens with home mortgages. You know, you have the processing fee or lender's fee or the points in the beginning. It's the same stuff. You think about the math. If they're going to give you 0% interest for 20 months, let's use 20 months, they're going to give you 0% interest on 20 months, that's cash they're not going to make anything on. But to finance that, they had to borrow the money from someplace, so they borrow the money somewhere at, say, 3%, and they're charging you 4 or 5%. They're still making 1% on that money, and maybe you screw up, and they start charging you the 21% or something, whatever it is. So they're not going to be out anything by charging those higher finance fees. So it's all priced into the model. Banks aren't going to do anything for free.
First order of business in your world is to pay off your revolving debt like that, right?
God, you have to. You got to get that credit card paid. You know, I'll have young people come in and say, well, you know, I got this credit card debt, so where should I invest? Well, invest in getting your credit card paid. You know, you look at the stock market. Granted, we get great years these last couple of years. Everybody made some money if you've been invested. But if you look at it on average, you're 8 to 10% is what you're earning on average, you know, if you have a diversified portfolio, including some bonds in there and so forth. And so if you're earning 8 or 10% on a portfolio and you're paying 21 or 26 or 28% interest, how do you get ahead by paying that interest? Well, try to get that stuff paid off so you can pay yourself. You just take the payments that you're paying the credit card company. If you're starting to dollar cost average that or putting that money in your 401k at minimum or putting it inside of mutual funds, you're going to be far better off paying yourself, or to take that money and just put it inside of a cash account so you can pay cash for whatever purchases you were using for the credit card. Far better off doing it that way versus financing it with a credit card.
Well, you've got some classes that we've been talking about. Have those firmed up at all coming up here in the fall?
We have dates.
Okay.
It appears as though as of Friday, they're actually going to be at NTC this year for our Tuesday classes and then at the Greenock Fieldhouse. The dates that are proposed, we'll have them finalized literally Monday. We'll be starting on August 19th at NTC and 21st at Greenock Fieldhouse, and the successive 4 weeks thereafter. So these are going to be our big four-week classes that we have. You know, books that come in, and we feed you with some sumptuous cookies and snacks and chips. We have the workbooks that come in, and we have Alan Haugum come in the last week and talk about the estate planning work. Of course, we haven't told Alan yet, so hopefully you're listening this morning. Please put this down on your calendar. Mm. But we go through everything. We start out assuming that you know nothing about investments, and we take you through on how modern portfolio theory works and what modern portfolio theory does if you diversify it inside of your portfolio and some examples of that. We talk about pretty much every investment vehicle that's out there, at least that reasonably you and I as a common person is going to use. We go through the whole gamut, insurances, Social Security. Health insurance might be kind of interesting because it's such a float at the moment, but we try to go through everything and get you rounded and ready to go so that you know the things that you need to know that are aware of for retirement. And the only reason I say need to know aware of is because we forget about it and it changes by the time we actually get there, but we have to have some sort of reference that we know it exists, and this class certainly does that. The cost of the class is $49. You can bring a guest with you. You can bring your wife or your girlfriend, just not both.
That's an old joke.
I know, but it works every time.
Yeah.
And